From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It is the 12th day of April 2010. It's the beginning of our fun drive. You can help us out now by dialing the number 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support to agricultural programming. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's a senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In the second half hour of the program, on some of these stations and online at willag.org, we'll talk about food security issues with U of I Ag Policy Specialist Bob Thompson. And along the way, we'll check the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy and hear how you can join a soybean yield challenge. It all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media with your aid at 217-244-9455.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finish the day like this. The nearby contract in the wheat at 465 and three quarters. A settlement price there. Up 2 cents on the afternoon. I gave you the wrong ending day, but we'll get that number for you momentarily from the wheat pit. It finished up at 467 and three quarters, up two. July futures at 480 and a half, up one and a quarter, and September at 497 and three quarters, a penny and a quarter higher. May corn futures today, 348 and a quarter, a settlement price up 2.5 cents. July at 359 and a half, up two and a quarter. And September futures at 370, 2.25 higher. December corn, 380 and three quarters, up 2 cents. March futures at $2, at $3.93 and a quarter, up a penny and three quarters. From the soybean pit, May futures $9.60, up 7 3/4. July at $9.68 and a half, 6.5 higher. And the August contract at $9.62 and a quarter, up 5 cents. September futures $9.43 and 3/4, up a half on the afternoon. May bean meal futures at $2.71.40, up 6.10. July at $2.70.50, up 5.90. May bean oil at $39.59, down 45. July down 47 at $40.05. April live cattle at $99, down 65 cents. And the feeders, April contract at $114.25, down 50 cents. April lean hogs today at $76.37.5, up 15 cents on the afternoon. You are listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what some of the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures in the June contract at $85.41, down 22 cents. May ethanol at $1.53 and 6 cents. That's down 0.1 cents. Natural gas at $4.03, down 6 7/10. The heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.22 and 2 cents, down 0.4 cents. And the gold futures at $1,161.60, up 50 cents for the day. The Dow now at 11,015, just about 19 points higher on the afternoon. Hey, have you taken the opportunity yet to dial this number? It's 217-244-9455. We are in the midst of the very beginning of our pledge drive for the spring, and we sure would like your help here to support the agricultural programming at Illinois Public Media. Speaking of which, Dave Dickey, Director of Agricultural Programming, joins us now to talk about, well, a whole bunch of things. We're on our way to meeting our Monday challenge for agriculture. Just need a couple of phone calls.
Todd, I believe we need one phone call to meet our challenge from Bates Commodities. They know how important it is to receive the kind of agricultural information that you get each and every day, 7 days a week. And because of that, they put in $500. When we hear from 20 agricultural supporters, we're at 19 agricultural supporters right now. I'm talking to you who is in the cab of your vehicle and you're pulling up to the end of the row. Go and stop at the end of the row, get out your cell phone, and call us at 217-244-9455 with your contribution. You will be the 20th member. Give that $100 bill, and you will also help us meet that $500 Ag Challenge, Todd.
And number to call is 217-244-9455.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Monday afternoon. Kurt Kimball of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, is on the line with us today. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, first off, we're in the middle of a pledge drive here. This is public radio, so there are some stations that are commercial stations along with us and our own public radio station. Most of those folks are used to hearing us in the afternoon and understand that this is a partnership between University of Illinois Extension, the local public radio station that belongs to the U of I, and the commercial radio stations. We all sort of get together and work at this, along with folks like you, Kurt, and Bates Commodities, who put forward a challenge today. We've got $500 on the line. I think we only needed one call, Kurt, to make that happen. So you might want to tell Pete that we're going to make it. We're going to make it. I know we're going to make it. All they have to do right now is dial 217-244-9455, and we'll get that done this afternoon. If you haven't ever dialed in with your pledge of financial support, it really does help. It does make a difference here at the radio station. So please do that. It's quick. It's simple, easy. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Again, thanks, Kurt, to you and to Pete for helping us out. We do appreciate that.
Well, you're quite welcome, Todd. We see a lot of value in the service you're providing, and we're just proud to be a part of it.
Let's talk about the commodity markets. What did you see today?
Well, firmer tone, for say. The market held up fairly well for the clear forecast we have this week. This afternoon's planning progress reports expected to show anywhere from 4 to 7% complete. I believe the average for this time of year is 4 to 5%. But the big progress is expected to be made here as we go through the week with favorable weather. There's estimates that we could probably head up to 30% of the corn planted by this time next week. So the trade is looking for producers to make quite a bit of headway here, and that provided a little bit of resistance over the market on corn. However, though, with producers busy trying to get some field work done, that has taken the selling pressure off the market. Historically, anytime we see guys go to the field in a heavy manner, it sort of eases up on selling. So a lot of speculative buying today. The support came from the outside markets, per se, and also, too, on the old beans. We sold 120,000 tons of beans to China, old crop. There's concerns that Argentina is not going to be that real good of a reliable source here, and so I think we're seeing Asia extend a little bit more coverage here to the U.S. But also, too, they're still in negotiations on soybean oil out Argentina. There was concern about the solvents left in the bean oil as they process those beans. I think China wants them to be about 100 per billion parts, and I think the last readings they had was 300, so they're still working on what type of standards they're going to set for bean oil coming out of Argentina. In the meantime, they've been relying on world vegetable oil as a replacement here in the short term, Todd.
I made note today that the old crop were up, but the new crop November was a bit lower, only by a penny and a half, but the nearby maize were up 7 3/4, all the way out to the September's up a half, July up 6 1/2. So the question is this, do you expect this is the beginning of a spread that might develop between old and new crop, as there could be a fairly large number of soybeans that will be on hand in the United States after the harvest, but up until that time, at least in this part of the world, we might be short of soybeans.
Yeah, when you look at the last week's report, the ending stocks estimate 190 million metric tons, a lot of the trade expected that number to be bigger than that, so it does signal that old crop beans are still tight. Stocks-use ratios real tight still. So any type of near-term demand here is going to give some spot bids here. It's going to be fairly hot in beans as we move down the road. You've got continued export demand. You've got the exporters wanting to build be there buying from time to time. At the same time, you've got the domestic user, your crushers, needing to step forward and be a buyer here. So you're going to have some bidding wars going on, and there's going to be isolated opportunities and some areas to squeak out some higher prices. But the trade's aware of the tight old crop and potential for bigger new crop situations, so the popular thing has been to do the bull spread by buying the old crop and selling the new crop on a spread there, looking at that spread to work here. Technically, we've got about another 5 to 10 cents in that spread. We could run into some resistance there, and then I'll probably be due for a little bit of a correction before continue to widen here as we go into the growing season.
Where would you suspect that new crop sales should be made for soybeans, and up to what amount and percentage at this time?
950, 975 seems to be a popular number. These old crop beans could catch on fire here and pull new with it, you know, anywhere from 15 to 30, 40 cents higher from here. With the long-term outlook on beans, if we have favorable weather and plenty of supplies, a lot of the trade wants to get a good chunk of these beans priced ahead if possible. It depends individually. Everybody's a little bit different, but it kind of feels like the individual probably needs to be up to at least half priced here as we go into the early part of the growing season.
And for corn, are you going to be that aggressive?
Well, in cases where there's been crop revenue insurance bought and sold those bushels, we would use weakness actually into the growing season to be a buyer to replace sales on paper here on weakness as we go down the road here. But there's no reason not to be 50, 60% sold on corn with the idea that we do see some weakness going into the summer here to be repurchasing due to the fact that we are due for the longer-term cyclical lows to kick in here sometime during the summer of 2010.
Now, finally, on the wheat market, do you think we will be short soft red winter wheat when we get to harvest season in July? Most of it is sold directly across the scale. So the question is that what a producer ought to do, just wait it out and see what happens, or is this market just terribly weak and going to stay that way?
We feel there's going to be some opportunities. If you can't tell right now, but if you're going to have some, feel you're going to have some good quality wheat just to sit tight, because there is some carryover from last year. They're wanting some good quality wheat to blend in. So if you're in a situation where you feel you're going to have some decent bushels, we'd be sitting tight here looking for some higher prices here in the first part of harvest.
Okay, and then finally, let's take up the livestock. Hogs have made a pretty good run, and I think that's why we're hearing about them in the regular newscast at this point. But cattle futures, while they're up, haven't been nearly as aggressive, I think. Does all of the news coverage of the meat sector bode not so well for it at the Chicago Board of Trade?
Well, news is going to vary back and forth. The thing on the meat sector, especially the cattle, has just been hampered by the news of the world economies. And the psychology is, until we start seeing, you know, more positive news, it's going to be hard, you know, to get extremely bullish on the meat sector. And that's been the problem. But we've been positive for some time. In fact, we were looking for the front end to reach the dollar level, which we've done. We feel we're probably overbought now and gotten a little ahead of the program here and due to see some type of a little bit of a correction back. But we feel the meat sector is a strong bull market, especially on the cattle side. We feel there's probably another $4 to $5 to the upside. On the hog side, they're probably getting a little rich here as we go into early summer.
Kurt, thanks so much.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Bates Commodities, one of the folks that have stepped up and put a challenge together. They will put an extra $500, Dave Dickey, in the pot for WILL. That's the local public station, Illinois Public Media. And for the agricultural programming that you're listening to right now, if at least 20 folks call up and pledge their support. Now, I don't think we've actually gotten a look to see what's been happening, but it matters not. We only need one more call. It could be, should be, probably ought to be yours. So dial this number now, 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support. Dave Dickey and I like to start at the $120 level. We can go lower than that. You know what? I like $120. I like to just start doubling them, $120.
$240.
Yeah, let's end $480. Why not? $640 because, well, you know, that's a mile square, so let's do that, too. If you can do that, you know, give us a call right now. The number is 217-244-9455 and pledge your financial support. One other number to talk about, too, that's at the $80 and above level. We've got a really cool brand-new hat that, well, those who give can get.
Not only do you receive that hat, by the way, which is way cool, and I had a part in the design thereof, Todd, you know, tweaking the color here a little bit, talking about a little bit of the graphic there, trying to make it a little bit nicer. When it came back, I believe what you said was, wow. And so at the $80 level, we'll get you that brand new spanking Will Agriculture baseball hat. You also will get two member benefit cards, good for two-for-one meals at area restaurants as well. But know this, at the bottom of the line, at the end of the day, your dollars will go to work for agriculture. 217-244-9455. Where else on your radio dial can you get the marketing views of 15 different futures analysts on a weekly basis? Where else on your radio dial can you get agricultural weather forecasts from five different meteorologists every week? Where else can you get a free weekend agricultural e-letter, which has technicals as well as fundamental analysis and gives you some ideas about how the market might move ahead in the days and weeks ahead? It's what we do is provide agricultural marketing information on a local, regional, and national basis. That's our bottom line mission, and we think we do it pretty well, but we can't do it without your support. And right now, during this spring membership drive, we're asking for that at 217-244-9455. We take Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express card. If you're out in the field, stop at the end of the row and pick up your cell phone, won't you? Get it out of the that task off your list early in the week so you can get back to all those things that you need to do regarding getting your corn in the ground. And it looks like it's going to be a great week for that, Todd. I wouldn't be surprised if next week we come back and 30% of the corn's in the ground nationally.
You bet. 217-244-9455. That's the number to call, Dave. You know that to this program in particular and all our programs, about half of our listeners are on the radio stations. The other half actually are online. So if you're listening online, don't pick up and just do the DVR thing and push past this. Dial the number 217-244-9455. You don't get out of that either. We freely would like you to pledge your financial support to this radio station. If you're online, you can do it at willpledge.org as well. That's willpledge.org. The important part is that you do it and that you do it right now, because it does make a difference to what's happening here at the radio station. Speaking of which, when you call in or when you go online and pledge, either way, make sure you tell them that you're pledging for ag. If you happen to know which radio station you're listening to, tell them which radio station you're listening to as well. That'll help out over time. So we'd like to know what part of the world you're from, which radio station you happen to be listening to. If you're listening online, then tell them that. Put that down in the notes section there. But make sure it says ag, one way or the other. The number to call, again, is 217-244-9455. It's pretty quick. It's simple. And it's really easy. We take Discover, American Express, and MasterCard. It's all at willag.org. Or you can simply call the number 217-244-9455. Oh, and by the way, thank you.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
Hey, up next, soybean yields go up on average by about 0.4 of a bushel every year. That's a nationwide trend. Illinois farmers are being organized to see if that trend cannot be pushed. There's a push in Illinois to increase soybean yields. All the details are online at www.soyyieldchallenge.com. University of Illinois Extension soybean specialist Vince Davis has been telling farmers all around the state about the effort.
Any farmer can participate in the yield challenge, and all farmers are encouraged, but they can form teams either independently sponsored or they can be sponsored by a variety of companies. And as well as FFAs and community college can all participate as students or public institutions.
There are prizes that include gift cards, soil lab analysis, and even scholarships for schools. But the big prize could be better yields. For you see, the challenge really is not so much a contest. Rather, it's a way to operate a large yet very localized field study with each crop reporting district in the state working towards a high-yield solution. Here's a list of the things Davis says should be considered when aiming for higher yields in soybeans.
The target for high soybean yields is really the thought process is a holistic approach or a whole systems approach to soybeans, and it's really from the start of the season to the end of the season. They definitely have to think about genetic potential of yield and selecting varieties with the yield potential and the disease packages that are going to match the particular field that they are going into. That particular field needs to have appropriate fertilities and pH levels to maximize yield potential. And probably the third most important thing is to think about how much sunlight season long they're going to be able to capture, and that's going to be in terms of maximizing the appropriate maturity group in their variety as well as planting at the most opportune times to maximize the season.
Those wanting to learn more about the Soybean Yield Challenge in Illinois should visit soyyieldchallenge.com online. The challenge, says Vince Davis, is made possible in part with funding from the Illinois Soybean Checkoff. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Urbana-Champaign. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. This is a production of Illinois Public Media. Time to check in on the cash grain market. Brian Stark of the Andersons is with us today. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, farmers, I suspect, are in the field, so not really busy with you.
No, it's pretty quiet around the office. I would agree with that. A lot of nitrogen application and field work over the weekend, and most of our customers we've spoke to plan to start planting a little corn this week.
Are they waiting till the middle of the week, or are they...
I would say in the vast majority of them are probably waiting until the middle of the week, picking their spots. We've had a few people that started as early as a week or so ago in western Indiana, but those are few and far between. Most guys are waiting here till the middle of the week to get started.
And what does your basis look like at this time?
Basis is firmed here. As you'd anticipate, farmers getting busy in the field. We've seen it firm here over the last week or so. And it's I'd say it continued to be that way from the processing endpoint as movement slows down while farmers concentrate on field work.
And what are your bids for the day?
336 cash corn. Fall corn is 351. Cash soybeans, 950. And fall beans, 895.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Todd.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. On Illinois Public Media's agricultural programming, we're asking now that you call in with your pledge of financial support to the program at 217-244-9455. If you're listening online, do willpledge.org. That's willpledge.org or 217-244-9455. When you do call in with that pledge, you're going to really help us out a whole lot here at the radio station, because it makes a big difference to public radio stations like this one. The home station is WILL in Urbana-Champaign. Dave Dickey, it looks to me like we've got a couple of pledges, maybe more than that. Hopefully they'll be rolling in now at 217-244-9455. So we've met at least one challenge this afternoon.
I believe we probably have met the Bates Commodities Challenge, which was to hear from 20 supporters of agricultural programming so that we might receive a $500 gift from them. They believe in the cause. They believe that agricultural information is very important to our listeners and to your particular agribusiness operation. That's why they ponied up $500. But don't stop dialing. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. We've heard from something like 265 or 267 supporters in the overall drive thus far, and we started over the weekend. Our goal for the drive is to hear from 1,000 people. So about a quarter of the way through, that's a great start. But we have to keep it going. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. Remember that this year our state funding to WILL decreased by about $100,000, and that was a pretty significant blow. But it's also part of a trend over the last 5 years. Our part of state funding has dropped by more than 55%. We've had to make some hard choices and make some cuts, but we think that we're on the right track in agriculture, and you can help with your call at 217-244-9455. That's the number to call. And when you do call, you will also be getting a couple of gifts at the $100 level. You will receive two member benefit cards, good for two-for-one dining opportunities at area restaurants. And you will also, if you choose it, can receive our brand new spanking new Will Ag baseball cap. We had a hand in designing that one. It's just hot out for the summer. It has our brand new agricultural logo on it. And it comes in a sort of a stone color with a blue bill and blue edgings on the top, and it's quite stylish, and we hope that you will enjoy it too. You can get that hat for your $100 bill contribution at 217-244-9455, Todd.
That's the Director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey, with a little update on how we're doing here. And we certainly have met our Bates Challenge for the day. An extra $500 for us at the public radio station from Illinois Public Media. On the line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the afternoon are the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Mark Russo, I believe, is with us. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hi there, Todd.
How are you today?
Great. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well. Farmers are going to want to stay in the field. Did I get the right name? I was so busy. It is Mark, right?
Yes, you got it.
Okay,
right.
I was guessing. I sort of called while I was talking, listening to Dave.
And you have a 33% chance here with the three of us here in the office.
You never speak. You know, that's kind of an interesting number, because about a third of the phone calls that have come in for us today for the radio station have come in support of ag programming. So we're really happy about that. Let's keep that up. 217-244-9455. I'm hopeful that there's less than a third of a chance that there will be rainfall across parts of our growing areas in the next 5 to 7 day. Producers kind of like to get a little corn in the ground, I'll bet.
Yeah, the pattern here this week is going to be very favorable for corn planting across much of the Midwest. The only exception to that would be the far western portions of the Corn Belt, which will turn more active starting the second half of this week. But for much of the eastern belt, namely Illinois, Indiana, into Ohio, limited rainfall much of this week, with the next kind of main window taking place over the upcoming weekend. But fast-moving system coming through, looks like spotty activity, not enough or not any really concern here, at least on our standpoint, considering any kind of threats of heavy rainfall coming up. So bottom line, a really good week of corn planting, which is, you know, continuation of what we saw last week.
When you look out to other parts of the world, what do you see for instance, in South America?
Yeah, we see no harvest issues at all across South America. The areas that we're beginning to watch closer include, at least closer to home here, Canada, which has been exceptionally dry over the past several months and going to need a good boost of soil moisture here prior to winter or spring wheat and canola planting starting later on this month. And then northern China has been very cold here, and so that's delaying summer crop planting across the far northern areas there. That's also something to watch as we go through the rest of April.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon. If you haven't dialed yet into 217-244-9455, please do so with your pledge of financial support. We'll continue our conversations this afternoon on most of these radio stations and online at willagnow.org now, when we'll talk today with Bob Thompson. He's an ag economist at the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the Farming World, news and interviews from the land grant in Urbana-Champaign. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Today we'll talk with Professor Robert Thompson. He's the Gardner Endowed Chair in Agricultural Policy at the University of Illinois, right here in Urbana-Champaign. Dr. Thompson, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
You recently were in Tokyo, where you delivered a keynote address called A Daunting Task, Projections of the Challenge to Come, and you were talking about food security. Can you background me, please?
Yes. I was talking to them about the challenge of the world's farmers to double food production in the first half of the 21st century, that we're expecting 50% population growth from 6 to 9 billion people. And as we have broad-based economic growth around the world that allows low-income people who may not even been able to access enough calories, to say nothing about getting a balanced diet and consuming some animal proteins, that income growth will allow them to upgrade their diets, the income effect could add as much to global demand as population growth. So the challenge then is with only about 10% more land and less water available to the world's farmers to grow this with, will we invest enough in research to increase productivity as fast as demand is growing? I'm a technology optimist, and my answer is yes, I believe it's possible to feed the world's larger population better than today at reasonable cost and without environmental damage. But it's going to take a lot more investment in agriculture research than we're making today. And on top of that, of course, we've got global climate change shifting ecosystems around that's going to also require more research investment. So my bottom line was a plea for increased investments in agricultural research in the public sector, both in the developing countries as well as around the world.
Given all of that, did you give them a plan of action of some sort in the way research dollars should be distributed or where the biggest priorities might be?
Some priorities are, that I mention are sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia. You know, African agriculture is significantly underperforming relative to its potential. And in fact, that additional 10% land that's available to bring into production is virtually all in South America and sub-Saharan Africa. But we need investments really in three areas, I'd say. One is in the International Agricultural Research Centers that are really doing the more basic research that will help make it possible to do the applied research in various regions of the world. We often forget how ecosystem-specific agricultural technologies are, that they really need research tools are freely mobile across the world, but we really have to do the adaptive research to develop the varieties that are optimized for local ecosystems, then global climate change is just going to make that even more difficult or more challenging. The second area is to strengthen national agriculture research systems to take that more basic knowledge from the international centers and do the applied research locally. The private sector is doing a lot of our research investment today in the United States and Western Europe, but as publicly traded companies, they have to focus on the biggest problems of farmers who have the wherewithal to pay for the technology, and in many cases in the low-income countries, farmers just are so poor and have so little access to credit that there's no way they can pay the tech fees, so it's going to have to be done in the public sector. And then the third, of course, is in the colleges of agriculture around the developing world. There's a great need for strengthening them so that they can do a better job not only of contributing to the research needed locally, but training the next generation of agricultural professionals to be extension agents, seed salesmen, feed salesmen, or whatever service functions that are associated with improving farm productivity in those countries.
Let's go back to the root of the discussion and why all of this is needed. You contend population growth, and you contend, and many do, will double fairly quickly. And then on the second part, you say that as people get richer, they'll want to consume more food. Which parts of the world will be at greatest risk for food insecurity?
Sub-Saharan Africa, definitely at the top of the list. There's a projected 900 and some million people, or million mouths to be fed in Sub-Saharan Africa between now and the middle of the century. Their population is projected to more than double in the coming 38 years or so. South Asia, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh is probably the second area. All of the land they have is in agricultural production. The yields are reasonably high in many areas. They use a lot of fertilizer, but yet South Asia region is expected to have 900 million more mouths to be fed by the middle of the century. Now, their population is growing a lot more slowly than Sub-Saharan Africa, but they have a lot bigger base to build on. And India itself is projected to have 300 million more people than China by the middle of the century. Their population is expected to be one United States bigger than China by the middle of the century. And that's no mean task to produce enough food for another 900 million people when you have no more land.
Would you put most of the economic emphasis into the regions that are the breadbaskets of the world already? So here in the United States, the Middle West, California, maybe the Delta region, Ukraine as a nation, probably parts of Russia, the northeastern portions of China, and then there are portions of Brazil and South America. If you traveled enough, you've probably been on many of these properties, including some in India. And they look very much the same sometimes. The flora and the fauna is very much the same. Are they able to produce enough food, do you think, from those areas to feed the global population in the future?
There's no question but what agriculture is underperforming significantly in the two other parts of the world that have the richest soil besides the Corn Belt. Those are in Ukraine, the area north of the Black Sea, and also down in Argentina. And in both cases, government policy has turned against agriculture, or at least it doesn't provide farmers with a reasonable level of return, that the farmers have to pay more than the world price for their inputs and get less than the world price for their outputs. And so there's a lot of additional productive potential, particularly in Argentina and in Ukraine. Now, it surprises a lot of people when Brazil doesn't have any of that deep, black, fertile soil. Now, investments in research in Brazil have made it possible to take a soil that's not very fertile and have it be highly productive. But of course, that takes inputs. But Brazil has shown that it can be done. So, yes, we ought to be using the best agricultural resources of the planet to the greatest extent that's both economically efficient and environmentally sustainable. But that's probably not going to get the job done. To feed 300 million more people that much better than today, there's going to be plenty of market out there for efficient producers of agricultural commodities wherever they are in the world.
Okay, so you don't think you can get it done with just the primary cropping areas. Then you have to develop those other areas significantly, and I suppose that's what you're really calling for. Am I correct, or are you calling for both?
Yes, I'm calling for both. I assume it's going to happen anyway in the most fertile, highly productive agriculture regions of the world. And the private sector companies that are active in biological research will do a lot of that for those areas, particularly those that have the wherewithal to pay the tech fees necessary to underwrite the cost of the future research. We also have to keep in mind that billion plus people in the world who are living on less than a dollar a day, and most of whom can't even afford enough calories to have the energy to put in a full day's work, of that billion plus people that are in such poverty, 70% of them live in rural areas, and most of them are farmers. Agriculture is underperforming in many of those places and not contributing as much to their own or global food security as they could. But it's also it would also be the right thing to do in terms of reducing hunger and poverty in the world. And at the end of the day, when we're talking about food security at the family or household level, it's poverty that causes the hunger problems in the world. It's not lack of availability. It's simply lack of wherewithal to access the available food supply. And it surprises a lot of people in the U.S. when they learn that in many of the low-income countries of the world, the poorest farmers, the lowest-income farmers, are actually net food buyers, that they don't even have enough land to produce enough food to sustain their families.
Why don't they have enough land? They don't have the money to purchase land.
Isn't any more land that can be brought into production, and the average farm size is down to about 1 acre in both China and India. They haven't been able to create non-farm jobs fast enough to absorb enough people out of agriculture to allow each person who remains in agriculture to be able to cultivate more land. What really needs to happen over time is for a significant number of kids who are being raised on farms in low-income countries to get enough education so they can do something other than farming, maybe related to agriculture, but not actually primary production, and so that both those who leave have a chance for a higher earning potential, as well as those who stay behind in agriculture, because then there can be some consolidation of holdings so that people can get enough land. One of the reasons that there's so much narcotic production in low-income countries is it's the highest value per acre crop, and people don't have enough land to be able to support the family and end up producing drugs is the most lucrative thing they can do and gives them a chance to escape from poverty. And we really need to be developing agriculture so there are other alternatives than growing pot or other forms of narcotics.
We're talking this afternoon with Professor Bob Thompson. He's the Gardner Endowed Chair in Agricultural Policy at the University of Illinois. You're listening to The Farming World. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. More with Bob Thompson when we return.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You are listening to the Closing Mark Report and the Farming World from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason in the studios this afternoon, asking you now to dial this number at 217-244-9455. The Farming World, a brand new program that's been developed in the last month here. Dave Dickey, Director of Ag Programming at this radio station, to, continue our agricultural coverage and expand. The idea is to give folks a little bit more to listen to and a very broad perspective about the world of agriculture.
Because we think that if producers hear this type of information, Todd, it'll help them connect the dots on a macro level and actually make them better marketers, make them be able to make better and more timely decisions regarding their marketings of their crops. And the bottom line of that, it puts more money in their back pocket. And so now is the time to go to your phone and help put a little money in our back pocket.
You betcha.
At 217-244-9455 is the number to call. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express card. We also will take your pledge at willpledge.org if you want to go that route, if you're listening on the internet and are not listening on the radio, if you're over in Iowa or Minnesota or listening in some other state, 217-244-9455. The number to call, though, if you're right here in our own backyard, Todd.
That's right, 217-244-9455. This is quick, it's simple, it's easy to do. Discover, American Express, MasterCard, Visa. You can just call up and tell us that you'd like to pledge your support at 217-244-9455 and join the other 24 folks who have called in this afternoon with their support of agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Tom Testel and Morris at 815-941-2184. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
This is the Farming World, news and interviews from the land grant in Urbana-Champaign. We're talking today with Bob Thompson. He's the Gardner Endowed Chair in Agricultural Policy at the University of Illinois, about food security issues. Dr. Thompson, when we left you, we had talked a bit about education and its importance in the world economy and the ability of people to feed themselves. You're looking forward and wondering whether folks will be able to do that in the next 30 years and how big, much bigger the population might get. You suggest that one of the things that should or can happen in China and in India in particular is better education that would allow folks to come off of the farm. Do you have a plan of action or an idea of how that might happen?
The U.S. Foreign Aid Program, as well as the foreign aid programs of most other countries in the world, used to put significant effort into agricultural and rural development to reduce poverty in rural areas where the majority of it resides. But yet, since the 1980s, there's been a significant reduction in the fraction of those resources going to agricultural and rural development for research, for building infrastructure, as well as improving health and educational access in rural areas of developing countries. There's been a pronounced urban bias in, despite the fact that only 30% of the extreme poverty in low-income countries is in cities. So one of the things I've been active with in the last couple of years is the Chicago Council on Global Affairs project that's making the case for why we need to invest more in strengthening the rural economy to not only increase their food security, but also to create economic opportunities off the farm for more of the young people who are growing up in rural areas. And it appears that the Obama administration has picked up on this and that they're is a significant effort underway to get agriculture and rural development back onto our foreign aid agenda. And Senator Lugar from Indiana, has, along with Senator Casey, have introduced a bill in the Senate for this purpose, and it would be broad-based, research, education, as well as infrastructure.
Is there any fear, and I think the populations are probably so large that maybe not, that doing this kind of development would empty out those rural areas, much like here in the United States?
No, there's so much population in those rural areas that both India and China need to move several hundreds of millions of people off the farm into non-farm employment. Now, hopefully, a significant amount of that non-farm employment will be created within commuting distance of those rural areas, or new cities will be created. There are diseconomies of scale in huge cities like Lagos and Nigeria and Mexico City. And we're not talking about increasing the crowding there, increasing urban crime and pollution, but really trying to diversify the economic base of the rural areas so that much has occurred in the United States that and in Western Europe. Most of the very small farms, instead of getting more, or that didn't get more land and expand, have at least one full-time source of income coming from off the farm that's within commuting distance of where they live.
One final question on the food security issues, and I think it's related. Is the ability to buy and sell property a problem in either India and or China?
Well, in China, you know, they still do not have a private ownership of land right. Under the communist era, all land became property of the state. But they've gone a long way by giving farm families a long-term lease. And in fact, that long-term lease can be passed down from one generation to the next. So they're talking about perhaps as long as 99 years. And as a result, farmers will invest in maintaining the quality of the soil, the fertility of the soil, take good care of the of their that most valuable asset. In India, private ownership of farmland does exist, of course, but in India, there is such fragmentation of holdings that there's simply a desperate need for each farmer to be able to cultivate more land in order to be able to increase the their earning potential. Now, another place where there are real problems of land tenure is in sub-Saharan Africa. Women grow 70% of the food produced in sub-Saharan Africa, yet in many countries, only men can hold clear title to farm land, that women can't get a deed in their own name. And that really undercuts the incentive to maintain the quality of the soil when they don't have clear title to the land. Ukraine's another place that this contributes to the underperformance of their agriculture. They still don't have a transition completed from the communist system to a market system that's allowed farm families to own their own land.
Dr. Thompson, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
We've been talking with Bob Thompson here this afternoon on The Farming World. He is the Gardner Endowed Chair in Agriculture Policy at the University of Illinois. This program is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason.